Isaiah writing, verse 11, he says, "For thus the Lord God spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying," we'll get to what he said in a few minutes. The Lord instructed Isaiah not to walk in the way of these people, this people. And today I want to share a message with you that is from the perspective, I believe, of the kingdom of God. And I want to look at three things that threaten the kingdom of God. And I want to work through these in the light of this passage with you. So now that you're comfortable in Isaiah, turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Very well-known passage. If you've been a scripture for more than 89 minutes, you've probably heard this in some regard. It says this, "Do not be conformed to this world or this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I want to press in on two words, the word conformed and the word transformed here. And for those of you note takers, the word for conformed is the word sousgematisista. So you might want to write that down. But what's important about it for our purposes this morning is that it is a combination of a prefix, the word soon, which means with, and then it's the word schemati, from which we get schematic or scheme or schema in English. And then the ending is that of an imperative, do not, a command, do not be conformed. Do not walk in the way of this people, Isaiah. The word scheme is the first word I want to look at. Because what's interesting about the word conformed in Scripture, in my particular translation, it's in the New Testament, four times. Two times it has to do with movement toward the world. So you have this prefix with, and you have the word schematic or scheme. And when you're moving toward the world, it is to be with the scheme of the world, to join the scheme of the world. The other time is in 1 Peter chapter 1. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Moving toward the world is the word scheme, to join with the scheme. Now the word transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Again, if you've been a Christian a while, you've probably heard this. It is a word from which we get metamorphosis. So the prefix also means with, meta. Not to be confused with artists formerly known as Facebook. Meta is the prefix. And it means with or moving towards, hence trans. But formed is the word morphos, and it is the word form, transformed. Also, by the way, an imperative, a command, with the ending. So here's the thing. Please hear this. There is a distinct difference between a movement with or toward a scheme of this world and a change of form. Beloved, God operates in form and not in scheme. Critical for us to understand. Genesis 1:2, the earth was formless and void. Then the Spirit of God began to hover over the waters. God made form. Psalm 139:16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. God operates in form, in the morphos, in the substance, in the eternality of who you and I are and who we are called to be. It is form, it is not scheme. And if we join with the scheme of the world, there is never anything truly eternal that can be accomplished through that end, to that end, through that means. Because God operates in form. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Further push down on this a bit. Verses 13 through 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. You know, Paul had some issues with jealous people. No wonder, verse 14, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And the NIV says masquerades instead of disguises. 15, therefore it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Meta schematicitai. Prefix trans, base word scheme. Why do Satan, not exactly a list of people you want to hang out with on a Friday night, false apostles, deceitful workers, Satan and his servants. Yeah, probably don't sign up for that. So these people, this group of people, what are they doing? Because Satan's form is established, John 8:44, Jesus says this, yet he was a murderer from the beginning. Yeah, he can't stand in the truth because the truth is not in him. When he lies from his own nature, literally out of himself, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So Satan, in order to accomplish anything, cannot affect the form of things because God operates in form. He can only scheme to change, meta schematis. He can only try and change the scheme. Do not walk in the way of this people, Isaiah. Do not scheme according to this word. And beloved, I want to submit to you that now in this day and age, the enemy has succeeded in weaseling his way into the church with schemes. And we've fallen for it, often hook, line, and sinker. But God operates in form, that which is eternal. He is the only one that can create form. He is the only one that can change form. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was glorified. It was a change of form because God operates in form. Everybody good? Do we need a stretch break? I'm not angry. Back to Isaiah chapter 8. After he says, do not walk in the way of this people, saying, he says this, you are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. Now, if you're like me, a little bell goes off and you're going, conspiracy, where have I heard that word recently? Only in every newscast ever. In the last couple of years? Do not say a conspiracy. You see, in this particular context, Damascus, the capital in that day of Syria, still the capital of Syria, and Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, were about to be, in the south we'd say fixing to be destroyed by Assyria. And the warning is to say, listen, what this is stirring in the political domain, etc., is a lot of discussion of conspiracy. And Isaiah, let me give you a little hint. I don't want you even to enter into that. Do not say a conspiracy in regard to what all these people, the ones that I just told you in whose way not to walk, don't say a conspiracy. Don't walk in the way of this people. Because a conspiracy is always, always built on a narrative. On a narrative. And narratives can do a lot of harm. Do a lot of harm. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 5. If you're turning, if you're the turning sort. And I'm going to tell this rather than read it. Familiar passage, verses 13 and following. Joshua, in preparation for the battle of Jericho, goes off by himself, and there he sees a figure with a sword drawn, a man, if you will, with a sword drawn. Joshua goes straight up to him, which was a bit of a dangerous proposition in that day, walks right up to him, and he has a question for him. This is what I mean when I say narrative. Joshua's question is very simple. It is a multiple choice question. There are only two possibilities, A or B. You have a 50% chance of getting it right. It's not one of those obnoxious ones you used to have in school, which was like, you know, D, none of the above, C, A and B, but not C. You know, all these kind. I mean, D, it was confusing. And Joshua comes because on his mind and heart is this battle with Jericho. He has this going through his mind, and he says, are you for us or for our adversaries? Simple question. It's not a yes, no, it's not a true, false, it's multiple choice, and there are only two possibilities. If you wondered, if you looked at the bulletin and you said to yourself, self, why is this such a strange sermon title? You're about to find out. Because Joshua asked the question born out of his understanding of what mattered at that time. And it was simply this. Look, I need to know you there, large man with the sword drawn. Are you for us or for our adversaries? What's the answer? No. Rather. There's a reason for this. And he goes, says, I indeed come now as the captain of the host of the Lord. Let me make a little triangle for you. Us, adversaries. No, rather, Lord. And Joshua, who was bold enough in that day and age to go marching straight up to a man with a drawn sword, again, think Josh, falls on his face to the ground. If you've ever been privy to that great bastion of theological excellence known as VeggieTales, then you know Josh and the big wall, at which point our hero actor, Larry the Cucumber, when he sees the captain of the host, falls face down and says, because his face is in the dirt. But what is it that he says? What does my Lord have to say to his servant? You see, Joshua came with a scheme and narrative question, and he got a form answer. Which one is it? You're either a good guy and you're with us, or you're with those old over there, those conspiracy. No, rather, the Lord. God is calling his church at this moment, in this day and age, to learn to say no, rather. You look way too content. Let me offend you. Don't answer out loud. Are you Democrat or Republican? No, rather. No, you still look too happy. Ready? Are you vaccinated or unvaccinated? No, rather. Do you see the heart of a form fitting, if you will, reverently, God? He who makes form, he who speaks to your form and mind, he who knit you together in your mother's womb, he who appointed Jeremiah a prophet of the nations from that moment, he who called us from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians, the one who deals, who operates, who communicates in form. Do you see how vital it is for us to pull our roots out of the schemes and the narratives of this world? And say, no, rather. I believe the heart of God is weary of our arguments and our discussions. We're convinced our side is right. So which is it, God? Are you for us or adversaries? Are you a Democrat or Republican? Are you vaccinated, God, or unvaccinated? No, rather. Of the Lord. And that produced, that sparked the fear of the Lord in Joshua. And he face planted. It's interesting, it says he fell on his face and bowed. Kind of hard to figure that one out, isn't it? Whatever it was the combo. He did both. And he said, okay, what do you have to say? Job, at the end of his trials, at the end of three friends who thought they were helping and were just driving him crazy, when God finally appears, he's like, okay, I've heard about you with my ears. Now I see you. I retract and repent in dust and ashes. No, rather. Scheme, often driven by narrative. And finally, back to Isaiah chapter 8. I want you to notice this. Heed this, beloved. This is absolutely significant because this is the fuel that drives schemes and narratives. Second part of verse 12. He's already said, don't do the conspiracy. Don't walk in the way of this people. Now he says this, you are not to fear what they fear. The literal translation is this, do not fear their fear. FDR, Roosevelt often gets credit for saying we have nothing to fear but fear itself. It was actually several hundred years before in France. There's some couple of significant quotes that fed into that saying. Do not fear their fear or be in dread of it. Now, what's the fulcrum upon which the Lord turns this? Start of the next verse. He doesn't just say because fear is bad. Here's what he says. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. And he shall be your fear. And he shall be your dread. It is a season when God, I believe, intends to bring back to us and to the world a revelation of the fear of the Lord. And I grew up as a boy in church, understanding, but yet I was a little, you'd say verzweifelt in German, I was a little confused because it's like, you're telling me, Pastor so-and-so, that God is loving, he's full of grace, he forgives, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, all these benefits I had, but be very afraid of him. And I was thinking, okay, I don't understand this. One of the key foundational ideas in understanding the fear of the Lord is found right here. Because what actually I believe Isaiah is saying, what the Lord is saying through him is this very simply. What you and I regard as holy is the very thing or things we fear. So let me ask you, what do you fear, beloved? What gives you cold, sweaty palms? What do you spend your time concerned with? Because it is the Lord of hosts whom we are called to regard as holy. And he shall be our fear, and he shall be our dread. That is the foundation of the fear of the Lord, withdrawing our fear from the things, the schemes of this world, from the narratives that are being strewn out before us by all sides of the media, guys. We always lean one way or the other. I understand that. Bless you. Be led of the Holy Spirit. But the fact of the schemes and the fact of the narratives, we must withdraw. We must speak no rather to those things and break free from the fear that so easily lays hold of our hearts so that we can build his kingdom with faith and not fear. We can be bold. We can walk up to someone and go, golly, I don't know what political affiliation they have. Maybe we're going to get in an argument. No, rather, God deals in form. You were formed before the foundation of the earth. It's incredible. He knew you. He's not shaken. No, rather, see, God doesn't scheme. God doesn't need a narrative. And believe you me, God does not fear. Do you want to walk in form? A form that only God can transform? Or do we want to be conformed, joined to the schematics of this world, of its narrative, of its fear? I want to wind this up by sharing from Psalm chapter 2, the first six verses of Psalm 2. When COVID hit, end of 19, early 20, I have two friends in the U.S., one in Virginia, one in Texas, and we began praying pretty much every day. Of course, we had some schedule conflicts, as you can imagine. I'm 6 hours ahead in Germany, et cetera. But we began to pray, and one of the first things that I believe the Spirit of God brought to us was Psalm chapter 2. So I want to just roll through it with you. It says this, why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, scheme, Peoples devising a vain thing, kings and rulers speaking against the Lord and his anointed, scheme, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Narrative. God's response, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, now notice the narrative. The world and the kings and the counselors give their narrative. Let's tear these fetters apart and throw away these cords. And then God decides he's going to speak. That's fear. That's the fear of the Lord. What does the Lord say? But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Form. Are we as a people, are we as individuals willing to recognize that there is an actual, literal, active campaign and battle to lay hold of your minds and hearts with the schemes, the narrative, and the fear of this world? And to recognize that God simply scoffs at the vain ragings of this world and its leaders and its media and etc. Oh, I find myself, I must confess, perhaps it's partially a confession of sin. More and more, I long for him to speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. Lord, and I know not what I ask. But come, O God, come. Set your people free. Set your people free. Pray with me. Oh, Jesus. Blow away any chaff I've spoken with the wind of your spirit. But Lord, the seeds that bear fruit, much fruit by which you're glorified, let them remain, let them grow deep in our hearts, no matter our status, no matter our age, no matter how long we've walked with you, no matter how long we've been in church, God, what we've seen, what we've done. Lord, we just open our hearts to receive your no, rather, wherever it applies in our hearts and lives, wherever we need your spirit to echo that through the inner recesses. Lord, your word says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of his being. Just do this now, I pray, for each one of us here. God, I repent of fears that would seek to cause me to control. I repent of listening to the world's narratives, following the world's schemes. When you, O God, you deal in the currency of form. Thank you for who you are. You are glorious. We worship you. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.